Well, welcome to North Heights for many, many visitors. I see a lot of familiar faces, of course, with family and friends, and we're glad that you are here. What a blessing to be here together. I thank some of you so much for your kindness towards me on my birthday yesterday. That was really kind of you. A lot of messages came in yesterday, and so thankful to have a family here. Christian family that is so loving, and so I do appreciate that. Someone asked me how it feels to be 40 now. I turned 40 yesterday, and I said of all the 40th birthdays I've had, this was the best one ever. So it is good, though. It is good. You know, it's a lot of it in life is how we face it. You can face it all with a smile and enjoy what God has given you and plans for the future. Or I guess you can think of the bad side of it, which is a little bit more creaking of the knees and things like that. But I'm trying my best as I grow older to enjoy everything that God puts in front of me and to work through it and know that He is with me. And I hope you can see that in your life. I hope you can experience that. Today's lesson, it should encourage you in that very area because of Christ. Why does the resurrection of Jesus matter so much? And what does it mean for us? And it means a lot. And that He is risen changes everything. All the struggles of life that we might face, and we will, even death itself that we might face, takes on a whole different light, a whole different meaning, because Jesus has risen. And He has risen. And I'm thankful that a world of people are thinking about that today. Now, I have to tell you, as a church, we and I believe rightly so, we think of the resurrection of Jesus, and we remember all that He has done for us every week. And in some ways, not quite to the significance, but in some ways, you think of it every day. I mean, every day we are blessed, and we understand that as Christians, as believers, because of what Christ did, what He taught, and because of the power of the resurrection. But the world does think about it right now in a way that brings a special meaning. And different from, this may be interesting to some of you, different from Christmas season when we typically traditionally celebrate the birth of Christ, but we don't really have a whole lot to go off of on the date of His birth. Different from that, we actually do have something to go off of when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus. Because Jesus rose from the dead on the first Sunday, the first day of the week, following the Feast of Passover. And so we can kind of look at that and notice through the lunar calendar, and that's why you may wonder, why does it change? Why it's not always April 16th or not this even this weekend? Why does it change dates? Why can it be earlier? Why can it be later? Well, there's a window that it can be, actually, March 22nd through April 25th, and the reason being is it's based upon the ancient Jewish calendar, the 14th of the Jewish month of Nisan. And so there is a lot going, without getting into all the details of it, there's a lot that determines it based upon the Passover season. And so we enter into this time, and we think of Christ and the resurrection, maybe in a little bit of a unique and special way, although we celebrate it every week. It is a tradition of man, not found in Scripture specifically, and that's important. We do not judge people one way or the other based upon it. You don't have to keep it, and that is understandable. But it is something that we can look at and understand and appreciate the resurrection, I think, in a special way. And I think of one of the main things of life as a child, even, that I dealt with the most was those moments of fear. And there were moments of fear that would sweep over me like a wave at times, almost catch you off guard. I remember having a dream, kind of a recurring nightmare that I had. And what I would find myself in my dream was I would be walking home from my next door neighbor's house. And that was a common occurrence, by the way. I spent a lot of time at my neighbor's house, just enjoying time with their children, which were my friends. And we would oftentimes play all the way to dark. And then they'd send, you know, they would go in for their time to get ready for bed, and I would go home. And living out in Leonard, out away from things, there were not a whole lot of lights. There was a couple of yard lights, just kind of security lights. We had one in our yard. I believe they had one in their yard. But there was a dark area, if you understand. And I had a chain link fence around my house. And so I couldn't just walk from their yard straight into my yard. I had to go out to the street and around and in through the gate and then up my driveway. And I remember in this dream, it would really startle me that as I would hit the area where the light would begin to cease, the security light would begin to cease, I got extremely slow to the point I could barely move. It was almost as though I'd have a broken leg or something, and I'm doing everything I could. Have you ever tried to walk in a swimming pool? That's what it felt like in my dream. I'm trying to walk in a swimming pool, only there's no pool. I just can't step forward. It's slow. And I'd finally work my way, looking back and making sure nothing was after me. I'd finally make my way and I'd hit the light in my driveway, and all of a sudden I could run in my dream. I don't know what was going on in my mind as a kid, but I remember how that was happening so often in my dreams that guess what happens when I would start to go home at night in real life? I would take off running as fast as I could, and I would fly all the way through the dark up into my driveway and all the way into the house. Never slowed down, never had any problem, no water, but every time I would do that, like, I'm going to break through this no matter what stands in my way. Do you ever experience something like that as a child, something similar? That fear that would rush over you and almost take control of you? Let me tell you, the most reassuring thing that I used to would get in times like that would be when my parents would reassure me that everything's fine. Or if I would see them standing there waiting on me, I could almost slow down at that point. Because I see a mom, I see dad standing there at the front looking at me and saying, yeah, come on home. And I could slow down and I could walk. You know, I get kind of that, yeah, I'm a boy, I got this, right? I really wasn't that scared. I hope y'all didn't see that I was running from nothing. But that reassurance. I thought when I would become an adult that those fears would go away. I thought when I became an adult that I wouldn't have those problems anymore, right? I wouldn't have those moments where I wanted to run to make sure that nothing slowed me down so I could make sure that I got through the obstacle. But reality is, and maybe I'm alone in this as an adult in the room today, but the reality is what happened is I began to see things happening in the world, and the fears that I have or have a tendency to hang on to, if I'm not careful, are fears that aren't based upon some strange dream, but are based upon a reality of what I see going on in the world. And they take on a whole new meaning. Because somewhere along the way, you start thinking, you know, this could actually happen to me. It hasn't happened, but it could actually happen. And we start hearing about neighbors or friends or people we know who have experienced it. And if we have children, we start thinking, do I let my children go out? Do I let them go with friends? Do I know where they're going? Do I give them the cell phones? Do I check in with them every 5 minutes, or is it every 7 minutes that I check in with them, right? And the kids are going, oh my goodness, you know, mom and dad, calm down. Everything's going to be fine. And most of the time it is. That's the kicker. Most of the time it is. But kids, what you don't understand is that the older we get, the more we've seen when it doesn't end up like we want it to be. And we love so much and we care so much for people around us that we kind of want to create this protective barrier. And so we go back and forth with realizing we can't always create the protective barrier, that they're going to have to live their life out among the world, apart from us. But at the same time, if I can, I'm going to protect them as much as I can. Am I hitting with anybody this morning? And then we get into our advanced years, our last few years.
and we begin to see a failing of health at an even greater rapid speed than we probably did at 40 years old. And we start noticing some things, and we start realizing what we will soon face. We will face our last moment in this life. And we see our friends, we see our family members, approximately our same age, who are, in fact, being buried. And the fear might rush over us. That's why it's so important to remember the resurrection. Faith in the resurrection gives us something, a hope and a peace. It's something that we can see that when we're still in darkness, when we're still in that moment where we're in uncertainty and we're surrounded by the threat of fear, we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we can say, I will fear no evil because we know God is with us. That He is surrounding us and that He will see us through it, even though sometimes things turn out to be hard. The promise is you are not alone. And He will not leave you cast down, but He will lift you up. Do not fear. Because God our Father stands as that one that you see in the distance, that is not just standing in light, but is the light. And as we move towards Him, He opens His arms and receives us to Himself. The interesting part of the resurrection of Jesus, well, there's so many things. There are so many hidden little nuggets. It's fascinating. We can read from John's Gospel, we can read from Luke, or we can read from Mark. This morning we're going to be in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10 together. But the fascinating thing is along the trek, we see these little nuggets, almost like all those little candies, you know, that the kids like that are now in the plastic eggs. You know, we do plastic eggs now so we can shove all kinds of candy or money and all those types of things in there that are little prizes, right? When I was a kid, you know, we went and we dipped eggs and we took our time to decorate them. And at the end, if you opened them up, you had a boiled egg. That's what it was. It was a boiled egg, okay? So you might got some candy on the side, but the egg was a boiled egg. But we like to open those plastic eggs, right, and grab the chocolate out, Reese's or whatever. Because we really like chocolate and peanut butter, right? See, so you put chocolate and peanut butter together, it's the greatest thing ever. Scripture gives us nuggets. It gives us those little spiritual chocolates and peanut butters woven together that bring us a peace and a joy that nothing else compares to. And when we talk about the resurrection, it's like it gets heightened. It gets amplified in Scripture. Angels begin to appear. They return to the story of Jesus Christ when resurrection takes place. Angels appeared and were a part of the birth of Jesus Christ, the announcement of and the actual moment in which He is born. There is this sense of angelic beings. The angels are there when Jesus is being tempted or has endured temptation and administering to Him in some way. The angels are there or some form and fashion of with transfiguration. And now the angel appears. Heavenly figures. At the time of the resurrection of Jesus. We're supposed to take note of it. It's like God flashing a sign for us and saying, look at this especially. Pay attention. I'm going to send somebody that is bright, a bright messenger for you to not miss what's going on. So the ladies begin to approach. They're going to the tomb. They're going to the place where Jesus has been laid to rest. Upon the first day of the week, at dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see. And they came to see the tomb. They came to see the place where Jesus was buried. That's what they came to see. Remember I told you about nuggets? I'm trying to help you see some of the nuggets that we find in Scripture. Notice the word see, underline. You're going to see this over and over again. No pun intended there. They're not coming to see the body. The body is inside the tomb. The rock has been placed in front of it. Guards are there. They're coming just to be as close as they possibly can to their Lord who has died upon the cross. They're coming to see. But what do they actually get to see? And Matthew says, "Behold, look, notice, there was a great earthquake." What do they see or experience? They experience a great earthquake. And in Oklahoma, we're starting to get used to the earthquakes. I know we were used to tornadoes for the longest time and still are, but now we're starting to kind of get an idea of what earthquakes are like. Even if our California friends want to say, and probably rightly so, we haven't experienced the level of earthquake that they experience. It's not an unusual thing now to get a little rumble. Any of you all experienced it in the last, say, 2-3 years where you've been sitting there and something's been shaking and rattling upon your wall? This type of earthquake is taking place. You're going to notice. You're going to be aware. And the earth quakes as the angel of the Lord descends from heaven and comes back and rolls the stone from the door and sits upon the stone. His countenance was like lightning. His clothing as white as snow. Very similar language in many places throughout Scripture of the presence of God's angels. And notice the guards shook. They come to see the tomb. Like we go out to the cemetery to see the headstone of a beloved one who's passed on in the past. They came for an ordinary experience. But something very extraordinary takes place. The earth quaking. The guards quaking. The language is the same. As the earth was quaking, so the guards are quaking. And they're shaking because of fear. And they become as dead men. Doesn't say they actually die, but they become as good as dead men. I suppose the best way of putting this, they absolutely pass out and fall to the ground in shock. They do that thing, if you've ever seen the movie Castaway, where the lady finds out that he's alive after he's been lost all that time and they thought he was dead, and she gets the phone call and he's on the phone and she just drops. They drop as dead men. From the fear. And the angel turns and says to the women, "Do not be afraid." The resurrection of Jesus, the moment of the earthquaking, all of this that is happening, the messenger that is there, the light and the countenance that you see of the messenger is not supposed to be bringing fear. But it's supposed to be that moment, that light moment that takes away the fear and brings us into faith and trust that God follows through with His promises. That what Jesus said that He would accomplish by His own resurrection is true. It's happened. He is not dead. He is not in the tomb. He is not there anymore. He is risen. And the church says, He is risen indeed. Do not be afraid. I know that you came to seek. I know you wanted to see the one who was crucified, but He is not here. He is risen as He said He would. Come see the place where the Lord lay. You came to see the tomb. You came to maybe see an opportunity to get to the body, possibly. And He is no longer there, so come and see. Come and see where He was in the past and no longer is. And for those of us by faith who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, we have been baptized into His death and raised to walk in newness of life. Where we were in the past, we are no longer. As Jesus is not where He was before, He is no longer in the tomb, and you are no longer in the tomb. You are no longer in the place of sin and death. You are no longer held down by it. You are no longer a slave to it. You have been released. You have been set free. So live accordingly. Live a life of resurrection. You have no need to fear. Everything has changed. And now we can go. Now we can go out. We can go quickly. We can go with speed, with excitement. And they are being told to go and to proclaim, to teach, to spread the word, tell the disciples that He is risen from the dead and that He is going before them into Galilee, and that there they would be able to see Him, that He would begin a process of showing Himself over and over to His disciples, and His disciples would come to know of His resurrection, and their lives would forever be changed because of that resurrection. It'll be in Galilee that they would see Him. Behold, I have told you. He had made the promise that in Galilee, that's where they would have their opportunities. And Galilee is important to the story of Jesus. It is in Galilee that Jesus did so much. So much of what Jesus did in His ministry. So many healings. So many teaching moments. And it would be there, as they had spread and scattered like sheep that didn't have the shepherd, as one that scatters a flock after the shepherd has been cut down. The shepherd had been crucified. He had died. He had been laid in the tomb. The sheep had scattered. They had run. Some of them very much denying to even know Jesus, like Peter. But He would meet them. He would show grace. And He would call them back to Him. And He would one day, very soon from this moment, He would begin to send them. And He sent them. In the early book of the church, it talks so much about what those Christians did. We have in Scripture inspired writing. We call it the book of Acts. And we see what's going on. And we see their courage. And we see them going. And we see them persecuted. And we see them saying to people, well, if you need to persecute me, if you need to throw me in jail, do whatever you're going to have to do. You got to make up your mind. But I can't help but preach and teach, proclaim what I have seen, what I have heard, what I know to be the truth about Jesus Christ. And that witness caused an expansion of the faith in Jesus Christ as Messiah. And you're here today because of what happened on that day. That day of resurrection. What does Jesus' resurrection mean? It means everything. And it means you have no need to fear. There's a lot to have, a lot of joy to have, a lot of consideration, a lot of, I guess in some senses, concern or paying attention to, being aware of things. Sober-minded, Scripture refers to it often. There is all of that that is true, but you need not be afraid. For Christ is risen. They were able to see. They were able to see Him and testify to that truth. We by faith come to believe in that testimony as well. And the women listened. They listened to what they were asked to do, and they went. And they went out quickly. They went out from the tomb, and they went out with joy. In fact, it was great joy, but they also left with fear. Do you see it? They went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. And they ran to bring His disciples word. Because here's the reality that sometimes we hold on to fear. We have a sense of the joy, a sense of the peace, kind of almost beginning to understand how to let go of the fear, but we still take fear along with us. What I'm saying is, outside of faith in Christ Jesus, we have reason to fear. Because we have no hope in the resurrection. But with faith in Jesus Christ and hope in the resurrection, we leave fear behind. And we move over into peace and joy and love. And what I see from Scripture here, I told you there's these little nuggets that are in Scripture. Don't read it so fast. Don't read it for the 100th time that you've gone through the resurrection and miss the little nuggets along the way. They take and they begin to understand great joy, but they're carrying along some sense of fear still left with them. And Scripture says that Jesus shows up. As they went to tell His disciples, "Behold, you came to see me. You came to see me in the tomb. I wasn't there. An angel was there to tell you that I wasn't there. An angel there was there. A messenger of God was there to tell you what had happened, what had taken place. An angel of God was there to tell you what you needed to do. And off you went. But you didn't listen. He said, don't fear. And you kept the fear. So Jesus shows Himself to them. And He says, rejoice, great joy, that's right. And they came and they held Him by the feet and they worshiped Him. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Jesus doesn't want you to have fear. Whatever it is right now that you are fearing, you're fearing the worst. In the size of room that we have right here, in the amount of people, and I'm talking to adults all the way down to children, every one of us, in some way, likely has something that we are holding down deep as something we are afraid of. For you little ones, you might be looking at the time of the year when they're starting to talk about tests at school, and it might be some kind of a fear down deep. Will I get the grade that I want? Will I have the right things studied? All of that. And that anxiety can get the best of us. And sometimes we actually do worse on a test because we're so anxious about it. Do your best. And move forward without fear. In our spiritual walk, we have many different things that come at us from different directions. Whatever that deepest thing within you right now, that fear that you are allowing to fester inside of you, the resurrection of Jesus tells you to lay it aside. Not that you won't endure some things that you wish you didn't have to endure. Look at Jesus and the cross. but that you will come through on the other side. You keep your faith in Him. You will come through on the other side, and you will be lifted up by Him who loves you so much. And then we go. We go and tell this message. We continue to talk about the witness, about what happened on that day so long ago, and why it matters so much. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. And I tell you to go and tell others, not to go to Galilee, but to come to Jesus. Go to the one who is from and spent his time in the Galilee area, the one from Nazareth, the one who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Go to him, find him. Kneel before Him, kneeling at the cross we sing, right? And Christ will meet you there, trusting in Him, being obedient to Him in your response to the gospel. And based upon that response and that faith, you need not ever be afraid again. And you can be rest assured you will see Him. You will see Him when He comes again. And are you ready? Ready to meet Him without fear? Ready to meet Him with great expectation and joy? There's no reason not to be. If we can help you in some way this morning, if we can pray with you, if we can talk with you, if it's something that you need some time and you need to come see me or one of the elders here, and we need to talk about it, we need to study it, or maybe you just need to get something off your mind. You're dealing with a fear and you're tired of holding on to it. See us. We're here to help. We're not here to judge you in it. We just want to help you. We want to help one another. I want you to help me. We all want to grow together to get closer to the Lord each and every day, each and every moment, each and every week as we meet here. Will you come as we stand now and sing, just as I am? Yeah.